morning, Washington, D.C. Time to get up and Adam here on a Saturday morning in the nation's capital. We are live and local here on D.C. Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan here on a Saturday, August 8th. What up, what up, what up, D.C.? It's AWOD. The Washington Commanders are on the practice field while we are on the air talking football. How great is that? Another day of training camp. This is week two, day eight of Commanders training camp. And today's another padded practice. Another hot day where the play intensifies, the competition heats up with the first preseason game now in sight. The NFL started their preseason with Thursday's Hall of Fame game. Maybe we'll get into it because it was one of the most exciting Hall of Fame games that I can remember in a long time. And it does signal that the start of the season is right around the corner. It always feels like the regular season's a marathon. Then you have the postseason, long off seasons, the longest thing of my life. And then, boom, training camp is a sprint. Every single day there's more information, there's more stories that come out, more news, and we cruise through training camp day after day after day to the preseason. It is right in sight now. Next Friday, after next Wednesday's joint practice with the Miami Dolphins, Friday at Northwest Stadium for preseason game one. I was at training camp 3 days this week. I'll be back next week and the following week as well, committed to taking you closer to the action. And I wanted to go through some of my training camp handy dandy notebook. Been taking notes throughout practice. What am I seeing? What are some of the reporters I'm hanging out with seeing from the 11-on-11, 7-on-7, 1-on-1 drills? Who's impressed AWOD? Who did not? Who stands out? What are my expectations for the Commanders before training camp began, and what are they at right now? With the latest addition, wide receiver Stephon Diggs added this week, and he is out there on the practice field today. We've got a lot to get to live and local, 9 to noon here on The Fan. As always, the phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067, 1-800-636-1067. 106.7. I like to make this the most interactive radio show possible. It's AWOD here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. Simulcast on the Team 980 in Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM. Let's dive in with AWOD's big picture takeaways from training camp. And I was on the Chris Russell show earlier this week, and I couldn't stop talking about Chig Okonkwo because I saw this fan base react to that signing, and I kind of thought everyone was overhyping it. Because all my research showed he had been tight end 23 to 25 throughout his career. He had not been in the top 20. What I saw, I'm not sure how he ends up below tight end 15. Like, he's got everything. Big, strong, fast. I'm not sure what he can't do yet. And maybe we'll find that out in preseason and these joint practices. How did Tennessee let him go? And we're going to talk about the difference that Stephon Diggs will make today. I think the guy that will be the biggest beneficiary of Stephon Diggs coming to Washington could be Chig Okonkwo, because how are you going to double team the middle of the field with Chig, with Stephon Diggs and Terry McLaurin on the outside? I really liked what I saw from him in the red zone. I really liked what I saw from him running up the middle of the field. I thought he had the size and the speed that he just looks like a big tight end, a big wide receiver playing tight end. So that was one of my biggest takeaways right away, was Chig. Then it's Sonny Styles, right? That's what a top 10 pick is supposed to look like when you see him out there on the practice field. Everyone I've talked to, and we'll play some interviews today with Jeremy Reeves and Will Harris, talked about Sonny Styles' leadership, and he loves to work. And there is going to be a big leadership hole in this team because Bobby Wagner was one of the ultimate leaders in the National Football League and will be a Hall of Famer because of that, right? And so we're seeing people talk about Frankie Louvu step into that role, Sonny Styles a little bit as well, and Jeremy Reeves also has been a big leader this training camp for the Washington Commanders. The next thing that stood out to me, big picture takeaways from training camp, if you want to chime in, 1-800-636-1067, David Blau's coaching style. And I am starting to really get fired up for David Blau. You know, when this hire was made, I was a little upset. I wanted to go outside of the building. I let everybody know that. Turns out maybe the best answer was inside of the building and promoting a guy that Dan Quinn believes in. Because from what I saw out there from David Blau, outside of, like, the play calls are cool. Like, I think the fans are going to really like what they see with Jaden under center. We've heard about some of these trick plays that he's come up with in the past that I'm sure are going to be part of this offense. The marriage of Ben Johnson with Kevin O'Connell and a little bit of Cliff Kingsbury's hurry up. But just David Blau's coaching style on the field. If you went to training camp over the past two seasons, you saw Cliff Kingsbury with his hat, right? Metal Chris, you know the hat we're talking about? It's like the straw hat that farmers wear, right?
And it was like wicker or something.
Yeah, it was a wicker hat. And we'd see that hat, and we'd see him standing next to the quarterbacks. Like, literally, he stood next to Jaden Daniels all practice, had a giant play sheet that would cover his mouth, and he would call plays. David Blau is working with everyone. I see him on the sidelines holding the pad that he's smacking the wide receiver's arms with to try to make sure they hold on to the football. Then he's working with the O-line. Then he's working with Jaden Daniels. Then he's sprinting up and down the field. I mean, the guy's got energy. He's got energy. He brings it. And it's a different style of coaching than what Cliff Kingsbury did. And it impressed me. I mean, you hear people talk about Sean McVay all the time and his impressive coaching style. I saw a little bit of that in David Blau, and I thought he did a really good interview on the Peter Schrager show this week, and he was asked about what he wants this offense to be, and he said he wants it to be an offense that evolves, that people enjoy watching, that, you know, basically he was calling out, in my mind, how Cliff Kingsbury, everyone said, fell off the cliff. His offense is going to keep evolving, and you're not going to be able to figure it out. Another big picture takeaway from training camp. The difference this year with Terry McLaurin on the field. Oh, my goodness. It's hard to even put it into words. Last year, all you needed to hear was the vibes are off, right? Terry McLaurin is arguing about his contract. Cliff Kingsbury saying, I need my guys to touch the grass. Well, he's been touching the grass this year. And outside of the huge plays that he makes, like when I was at practice, he had two touchdowns that were incredible. One of them, Dan Quinn talked about the precision on the pass from Jaden Daniels to lob it perfectly on a fade route into Terry McLaurin's hands where Mikey Sanders still had good defense. And then another one, he kind of ran a post and just jumped over the defender and made the catch. He's going to give you spectacular catches. But Terry McLaurin on the field, the biggest difference is that he is a leader and he's a coach on the sidelines. And I love watching Terry McLaurin at practice. After a play, he will go scream at Jalen Lane, great catch. He will go scream at Antonio Williams, good route. He will go up to De'Ami Brown and say, that's what I'm talking about. And he will continue to hype people up. And then they come back to the sidelines and he will kind of show them how he would have done it or how he would have broke on his route. And he leads by example, and then he takes the extra time to show you what he's talking about. It's just, it's night and day. It's night and day. From at this time last year, he was still arguing about his contract. Jaden Daniels, we haven't talked about QB1. Laser passes, great precision on some of his passes. I liked that he was getting rid of the ball quicker, I thought, on Tuesday and Wednesday of this week after what I saw on Monday. The speed of Jaden Daniels still is very, very evident on these rollout plays that you're going to see a lot of with Jaden Daniels under center. I think that's going to allow him to use his speed to keep a play alive and also kind of run safely to the sidelines and get out of bounds without hurting himself. Some more defensive takeaways from training camp. I think a lot of people thought starting safety was going to be Will Harris, who was brought in last year, had the big injury, then worked his way back. You bring in Nick Cross on the other side, and it does appear that Quan Martin has dropped down the depth chart significantly, but it also appears that Jeremy Reeves has risen up the depth chart. The coaching staff loves him. Dan Quinn talked at length about him as a leader, as a communicator. His communication skills are elite, is what Dan Quinn said. And so right now I'm seeing Nick Cross and Jeremy Reeves seem to be the safeties. Reeves' leadership is so important, and his communication with what they're trying to do in Durante Jones' schemes on the defensive side of the ball. Two running backs have stood apart from the rest. I think you can probably guess them. Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, Bill, last year's draft pick, and Rashad White. And Catron Allen's out there and Jerome Ford and Jeremy McNichols. But to me, Bill and Rashad White have stood apart from the rest. Bill has been significantly looking bigger and stronger, and he's been able to catch the ball out of the backfield. Rashad White's got a little Austin Ekeler, a little Darren Sproles in him where just kind of dump it off to him in the flat, and he's got a burst of speed to get up the field for 5 or 6 yards before even contact happens. I think he's going to be a big piece on third downs for this team this season. The running backs looked solid, and Dan Quinn's talked about the plan for Bill. Like, they want Bill to force them to take him off the field because they feel like, hey, we can trust you on first and second, and we can trust you on third down because you're catching the ball, right? And so I think they're trying to empower Bill to go out there and be an every down back and not look at yourself as a seventh round pick, look at yourself as a guy that ran for 800 yards last year and a bunch of touchdowns and have the confidence to be the lead feature back for the Commanders this season. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. Dan Quinn spoke to the media at 8 a.m. today. 8:30, they got out on the practice field, and the Commanders made three moves. They released wide receiver Chris Hilton Jr., guard Timothy McKay, and DJ Davidson, the D-tackle, retired. And they brought in three players, all three on the offensive line. All three on the offensive line, a new center, a new tackle, a new guard. Dan Quinn spoke about that. He wanted more competition along the offensive line, as this is a big week of practice coming up here. Today on the practice field, day off tomorrow, then Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday's joint practice with the Miami Dolphins with preseason game one in sight next Friday night at Northwest Stadium. It's AWOD here on DC Sports Radio 106.7, The Fan. Welcome back. What up, what up, what up? It's AWOD here on DC Sports Radio 106.7, The Fan. Simulcast on the Team 980 in Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. It's AUDACY. AUDACY gives you the ability to pause the show, run some errands, rewind, then pick up right where you left off. You can check me out Monday through Friday on the Odyssey app. Just search 910 The Fan. That's where you hear me from 12 to 3 p.m. So the Commanders are on the practice field right now. I am seeing tweets from John Keim and from Tashawn Reed that Laremy Tunsil tweaked his left arm during a one-on-one drill with Adafe Owe. He is now with the training staff in the medical tent. You know, nothing serious right now to report, but that is something that I wanted to mention because there were three new offensive linemen brought in today. As we get to some of Dan Quinn's thoughts from today's press conference ahead of practice day 8, week 2 of training camp. So the moves, they signed three offensive linemen, Daniel Brunskill, tackle Nicholas Petit-Ferrer, and guard Max Sharping. So what does that mean? Well, I don't think it's good news at all. And tight end John Bates and center Nick Allegretti will both miss another week. I'm a little bit frustrated by this Nick Allegretti situation now because of how important the joint practice is on Wednesday. That's the next practice after that we really want to see Nick Allegretti out there, and it does feel like Dan Quinn saying John Bates and Nick Allegretti will miss another week is, hey, they're going to miss Wednesday's joint practice, and they're going to miss the game Friday. Now, Dan Quinn said there's no long-term concern, and we do still have over a month until the start of the regular season in Philadelphia, but I would really like to see Nick Allegretti being the one snapping the ball to Jaden Daniels in these joint practices. I don't think that Julian Good-Jones is good enough. I don't think Matt Golvin is going to be ready. Another reason probably why they signed a center today. Dan Quinn said they want more competition across the board. It doesn't feel like Brandon Coleman's going to get an opportunity at center. I think he is heavily in a competition with Chris Paul at guard. You know, we have Tunsil and Connolly on the other side, and you do have Wiley as the backup there. I wonder, is this offensive line strong enough? Because now that wide receiver two is solved, what are they going to say about us now? It does feel like center is the next talking point for anybody that wants to mention reasons the Commanders might struggle. Well, we don't have a starting center out there right now. And he's going to miss another week. I'm not, like, 10 out of 10 concerned about that, but I'm keeping an eye on it, and my concern is rising every single week that he misses. Because to me, this joint practice is huge. This joint practice is a great chance and maybe the best chance so far for the coaching staff to evaluate the talent that they have and to find out what the weaknesses are in this team right now. But one thing we do know is it's given a boost to the offense to bring in wide receiver Stephon Diggs, who looked sharp from what we heard yesterday at practice. It was really cool to hear from him and how emotional he got in playing in his hometown after practice, speaking to the media. Here's Dan Quinn earlier today talking about Stephon Diggs' first day on practice.
Number one, like, you feel like his intent, his quickness, you know, going through the individual. I like his heightened, like, football skills, awareness. So, yeah, it was good to have him back on the field.
I like that answer from Dan Quinn on Steph Diggs, but I do need to let everybody know how impressed I was with Treylon Burks. And I do think there's a world in which Terry McLaurin's on one side, Treylon Burks is on the other side, and Stephon Diggs is in the middle. And, oh, yeah, you still have Chigakonkwo on the field at tight end. That's four weapons that Jaden Daniels could throw the ball to and a guy in the backfield, either Bill or Rashad White. Now we're talking about this offense being multiple, this offense being able to evolve based on how the defense is covering them. And so what am I seeing from Treylon Burks at practice? I'm seeing a guy that looks the part of a former number one overall pick, a guy that's probably the tallest wide receiver on the team. He still has the speed as well and the hands. I mean, from what I saw on Wednesday, there was a one-on-one drill in which, and everyone's hyping up Rasul Douglas, and Rasul Douglas has looked like maybe the best corner on the team. And I saw Treylon Burks just jump over him and completely moss him on a play. And it was one play and one drill, and it's not the biggest deal, but it's just kind of a little bit of sight into what the coach sees and what he can bring for this team. We saw it last year with this spectacular catch. In the red zone, there's going to be opportunities for Treylon Burks to make a play. I think on third downs, there's going to be opportunities for Treylon Burks to make a play. And I do think that Stephon Diggs really can be a slot receiver and on the outside. You're going to move guys around. We've seen Terry McLaurin moved a lot more, obviously, than last year with Cliff Kingsbury. So, you know, going back to some of my biggest news and notes and what I saw from training camp, Treylon Burks was very, very impressive. And I think that there's going to be a chance for him to be a part of this team this season, even with the addition of Stephon Diggs. But joint practice coming up on Wednesday with the Miami Dolphins. Dan Quinn talked about that when John Keim asked him earlier today. Let's take a listen.
It's important, John. I think I'll split it up in a couple of ways. One, I like it for the competitiveness, you know, like going against the same guys, starting to learn formations and players and people. So, like, just for the sake of, like, new, like, you against I, new group, I like that. I also like it for the evaluation of that, too, of seeing who steps up, who gets into those spaces. So those would be two of them. And then in the practice itself, it might be a little bit more creative than the actual games, meaning like plays and that, to where you may not show some of those into the games, but in the practice you may work a little bit more. But I like that we get skill work, one-on-ones, and then the team period, some scripted, some not, but it's a good deal for us. Are we behind in an area? Is there an area, hey, this needs more attention, this is taking longer than we think to get ready? So yeah, that's part of it for sure. Or we may be more of something.
The key line from head coach Dan Quinn there, speaking on the joint practice next week, quote, it might be more creative than the actual games. And I think that's really insightful from your head coach and why it does seem that the NFL is turning more towards these joint practices and maybe even eliminating preseason games in the future. I do envision a world in which every team's going to be forced to do two joint practices in the future and maybe only two preseason games, as it does feel like the league wants to add an 18th game eventually to the schedule. But for Washington, against the Miami Dolphins, like, it might be more creative than the actual game. Like, we've talked about this in the past. Dan Quinn could go out there and say, all right, we are going to focus on just third down for 25 minutes here, and we're going to spend this entire period on third downs and third and long situations. And then in the game on Friday, the Commanders might have in the entire game, and the toughest third down they face is 3rd and 10. You don't really get to practice that 3rd and 15 or the 3rd and 12 that maybe you worked on in the joint practice. The coaches can decide the exact situation that they want to bring up in the joint practice. And from what I've seen at training camp, situational drills has taken over the NFL. Everything is a situation. Hey, we're going to put the ball at the 2-yard line. It's 3rd and goal. We're going to play it out. You're down by 5. Go win the game. It's all situational things. 3rd and long, 4th and long, time running out on the clock, red zone. Working on the situations seems to be the biggest emphasis from what I saw from Dan Quinn at practice. I really liked his answer on what he's seen from Ja'Cory Kroski Merritt. Bill, because this is a big year for Bill. It's a big year for the offense. We know that. We've talked about the emphasis on the offensive line. But can Ja'Cory Kroski Merritt, can Bill be an every down back for the Washington Commanders? Can he be the feature back this season? Let's take a listen to DQ.
I would say probably in the passing game, that would be one of the things that jumps out. His running skills, that was always there. He's added a little more armor as well. So from April, he's about like 7 pounds heavier lean mass. So he's got just more strength to go. But in the passing game, I think that'd be one of the areas that I would say has been improved.
Yeah, I mean, I noticed it as well. I thought he made a couple of really nice catches on the run, on the move, one where he kind of turned and spun after the catch. We know what he could do in the running game, and we're hoping that the running game as a whole is improved this year with Jaden Moore under center and the threat he can bring, plus a stronger offensive line with a better offensive line coach. But where can Bill take his game forward? I think everyone knows that's in catching the ball out of the backfield this upcoming season. It's A-Wad here on The Fan. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. We like to make this the most interactive radio show possible. You could tweet me at A-Wad Radio. If it's a good tweet, we'll read it on air. I appreciate Willis and Richmond John letting me know that they're listening on Twitter. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back on The Fan. Welcome back. What up, what up, what up? It's A-Wad here on the new DC Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan. Simulcast on the Team 980 in Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM, and we're always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. Download it today for free anywhere you get your apps at A-U-D-A-C-Y. A-U-D-A-C-Y gives you the ability to pause the show, run some errands, rewind, and pick up right where you left off. It's A-Wad on The Fan, and I'm so happy to be talking Commanders football while they are on the practice field for another day of training camp, week 2, day 8 of practices out there in Ashburn for the Washington Commanders. And the big story this week is a new wide receiver comes to town in Stephon Diggs. Phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067, 1-800-636-1067. How do we feel about the wide receiver room now that Stephon Diggs is in the building? 1-800-636-1067 or tweet us at AWOD Radio. I told you guys last segment, I still think there's going to be a plan for Treylon Burks to get him involved in the offense this season. Here's Dan Quinn when asked about Trey Burks this morning.
You may have noticed, I think he came in leaner, and that was intentional for him. You know, more speed for the longer ones. He's routinely one of our, top speed guys at practice. Like, he can really cover ground. He's been working kick returns, punt returns. But at the Z position, we really feel his impact, deep routes, in-breaking routes. He's got a long catch radius, and so that's the thing that you feel on a regular basis. You maybe saw a little bit of that yesterday in the one-on-ones. Fabian had good coverage for him, but the quarterback had put it in just such a spot that Trey, with his length, was there, and Fabian couldn't get around. Those are some of the things that we feel with Trey. He's an excellent competitor, and so we're very pleased with where he's at.
So we know that Terry McLaurin and Stephon Diggs are the guys that have been 1,000-yard receivers in the past, but Treylon Burks is exciting to me from what I saw. He is the guy that could be our spectacular catch guy, our big 50-50 balls guy. He looks all the part of 6'2", 6'3", 225. And, health has been his big issue, right? He's never played 17 games. He's never been able to stay healthy. That's why it was such a big deal, it felt like, from this fan base when he went down after the first day of training camp. But he's been out there every day since then. And I do think that outside of McLaurin, he has been the second best receiver, but now you add Stephon Diggs. So what does the receiver room look like in Washington now? Is it Terry McLaurin 1 with Stephon Diggs 2 and Treylon Burks 3? And then behind them, Luke McCaffrey, Antonio Williams with De'Ami Brown. And then trying to make the roster, Jalen Lane, Van Jefferson, Nick Nash. I do think that Jalen Lane is fine. I know there was people tweeting online, Jalen Lane could get caught with Stephon Diggs coming here. He is such a big weapon for them at punt return. And I think they view that as a big strength on why they want him on the team. And again, if Adam Peters drafted you, you're fine. People are saying, is Ben Sinnott going to get cut? I think they're going to give him every chance to make the roster again, and this offense should fit him better. He also has a big opportunity with John Bates out right now. How do you feel about the wide receiver room now that Stephon Diggs is in the building? 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. Let's go to Mark in Largo. Mark, you're on the Fan.
Hey, the receiver room, I think it's going to be outstanding. Could be a strength for this team. Now, I agree with you on Treylon Burks, and I also agree with you on Jalen Lane. I think those guys are safe. I'm looking really – we have to be honest about this really up front. I said to you last week it would not shock me if Adam Peters decides to trade Luke McCaffrey to San Francisco. I mean, trade him to San Francisco, which – actually, I see more and more now possible because, look, Adam, look, I love this kid. I love Luke McCaffrey. I really do. But when I look at how long he's played the receiver position, he's played it at best 4, maybe 5 years. Most of these guys that are playing now have at least played 10. Stephon and Terry have played 20. They pretty much know you need to make this your strength. You can't go in the season – with everything the way it is. I do think there is a place for him to go someplace else where he may be a little bit more needed. I know that may not be something that you may want to hear, and a lot of people in the media may not want to hear. But I think the reality is that may be on the table, and they can get a draft pick for him.
You can say that, Mark. Here's what I would push back on is, people complained that we didn't have enough at the wide receiver room. People complained the wide receivers weren't good enough. Now we add Stephon Diggs, and you want to trade a guy and bring the room down. No, we've got momentum in that room. Keep Luke McCaffrey. Let him compete. He looked like the best wide receiver on Tuesday when I was there. I do think there's a spot for him on the outside as a backup. Diggs only played 55% of the snaps last season. You're kind of alone in my mind in wanting to trade Luke McCaffrey.
No, I think there's a lot of people that feel that way. They just won't say it. I mean, look. You have to look at the history here, Adam. I want this team to win. Okay? And I like this kid. But this is not about whether I like this kid or not. This is about whether he can play the position the way you need him to play the position. This is not about whether I love him or this or not. He's a great kid.
How is trading Luke McCaffrey going to help us win this season, Mark?
How has it made us better with him the last 3 years?
Well, he's only been here with us for the last 2 years, Mark. I'm not going to argue about Luke McCaffrey today, Mark. I want to talk about the positives to this wide receiver room now that Stephon Diggs is added.
If you add Stephon Diggs, it makes the receiver room a lot better. Luke's not going to get on the field if Stephon is there. Just like he didn't get on the field in 24. He didn't get on the field in 24. But he was a rookie. 25, he got on the field. And we saw what happened then. Now, is that all on Luke? No, it's not. But Van Jefferson, De'Ami Brown, definitely has better chemistry with Jaden than anybody else.
I mean, all right, Mark, good call, man. I appreciate you chiming in. Luke McCaffrey's looked way better than De'Ami Brown. From what I've seen, Luke McCaffrey's ahead of De'Ami Brown right now in the offense. They added Stephon Diggs. They're strengthening wide receiver room. Talking about trading Luke McCaffrey right now is kind of crazy in my mind because there is positive momentum on the offensive side of the ball. Let's go to Dominic in Tampa. Dominic, you're on the Fan with AWOD.
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, what's up, dude?
Okay. So Mark and Largo just need to stop talking. The only reason why he said trade Luke McCaffrey is because he heard Kevin Sheehan say it the other day. So that's let's put that to bed. I think there's going to be a more of a role for these other wide receivers than people think. I don't think bringing in Stephon Diggs automatically means that it's always going to be Terry, Diggs, and maybe Williams on the field 90% of the game. I don't see it. I really think that they want to go almost outside of Terry. I'm almost getting a feeling it's going to be like a wide receiver by committee approach and just keeping guys fresh and keeping guys. That's kind of what, you know, all of you know, can do something different in their own way. And to go back to the whole, you know, trading Luke McCaffrey, which I think is absolutely stupid. Last time I checked, Diggs was on a one-year deal. I believe Van Jefferson's on a one-year deal. Correct me if I'm wrong, I believe Diami's on a one-year deal. So why would you want to take away, why would you want to trade a guy who still is under contract for another 2 years? When you have all these other soon-to-be free agents after this year, I'm sorry. I think that's just a stupid approach.
Yeah.
But I just think there's more of a role, you know, for these other wide receivers than they're getting credit for, even with a Diggs signing.
Yeah. No. Good call. I appreciate you chiming in. And just to build off that once again, I thought Luke McCaffrey's had a very strong training camp so far, and from all reports, I was there on Tuesday. I thought he was the best wide receiver. There were so many other people confirming that Luke McCaffrey training camp MVP. He had the big catch through the middle of the field with Jaden Daniels throwing it on the money. He leaped up and made the play. And here's my take on Stephon Diggs for a second. We'll get back to the calls, but he could be the best one-year Band-Aid possible for this team. He's not the future in Washington at wide receiver, 33 years old. The future, hopefully, is Antonio Williams, Luke McCaffrey, or Jalen Lane, or a combination of those guys. And so Diggs comes in after playing 55% of the snaps last year, which allowed the Patriots to give their young wide receivers an opportunity while also using Diggs on key third downs, red zone situations, important plays out there. And so Diggs will be able to do his thing, but also he's not going to be out there every snap, and so Antonio Williams, Luke McCaffrey, Jalen Lane will have opportunities, not just in preseason, but I think in the regular season as well. And you know, Diggs is such a weapon, they can use him in different spots. And so I just think it's a good problem to have right now that we've got a lot of wide receivers. We have about 8 basically competing for 6 spots. Last year, we had 4 competing for 6 spots. I mean, this is a big positive signing in Stephon Diggs while also saying that, yeah, some of the younger wide receivers were kind of impressive so far in training camp. You can see why Adam Peters was hesitant to make the move because he likes certainly what he's got in the young guns. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. Welcome back. What up, what up, what up? It's AWOD here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. Simulcast on the Team 980 in Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. AUDACY, AUDACY gives you the ability to pause the show, run some errands, rewind, and then pick up right where you left off. I want to back up to what we talked about earlier that was reported by Nikki Javala and John Kime. Laremy Tunsil walked off the field with the athletic trainers after getting dinged on a one-on-one versus Adafe Owe, according to Mike Garofolo. He did, according to Mitch Tischler and others, then go back to the facility with the training staff. So not great news at all. There were 3 new offensive linemen brought in today, a tackle, a guard, and a center. Get to work, get ready to learn Ashburn, because there's now a spot available today at practice for guys to step up. You know, it is early. It's August 8th. Not going to panic about your starting left tackle leaving practice, but that is the latest news from Ashburn as being reported by the beat reporters on site today. Tweaked his left arm, according to Sean Reed. The training staff checked on him, and then after going to the medical tent, he returned inside of the facilities. Phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. But we're talking about the wide receiver room. How do you feel about the wide receiver room now that Stephon Diggs was added? Certainly strengthens the room. And I said earlier, I think the guy that's going to benefit most from this is tight end one, Chigakonkwo. He blew me away at training camp. I was like, what can't this guy do? My goodness, he was running past people, able to run over people, run around people, really strong hands. I told Chris Russell, looks like the best tight end we've had since Jordan Reed. Just really thought the athleticism of Chigakonkwo popped off. And so now you had Stephon Diggs on the inside, Chig over the middle, Terry on the outside, Burks on the outside. Really do feel like there's a lot of momentum right now on the offensive side of the ball after all offseason long. Every article said, did Washington do enough at wide receiver two? Has Washington done enough to give Jaden Daniels weapons in year three? What are they going to say now? I love the move of Stephon Diggs. Let's go to the phone lines. 1-800-636-1067. Willis in Dumfries. What's up, Willis?
Adam, it's a pleasure to talk to you for the first time. I know I would always message you on Saturdays when I'm like work or I'm off, but I had the opportunity. But it's a pleasure to speak with you this morning.
Appreciate you calling, man. What are your thoughts?
Real quick. I'm going to be real quick so we get some other calls in here. I like what they've done, but the receiver room, they stay from the receiver room. They don't need to be moving anybody. They need to go with what they have. And I think what they need to do next, and I think Pete is probably keeping an eye on this, they'll be probably looking for a veteran center when the cuts start going into the regular season. I think that's probably the next a diamond to drop if the opportunity presents itself. But I do like what the roster is looking like now.
Is this a wide receiver room that can compete for a Super Bowl?
If it stays healthy, yes.
Yeah, I feel the same way. Willis, good call. Appreciate you chiming in. Let's go to Mark in Landover Hills. Mark, you're on the fan with AWOD.
Top of the day to you, Adam. How's it going, buddy?
I'm great, man. Football's back. How are you, Mark?
I'm hanging in there, buddy. Having a good day talking to one of my friends, Mr. Adrock. And hey, Adam, I think that it's kind of odd that Mark would call in and say that they should trade Luke McCaffrey when he was leading the NFL in punt return yardage when he got hurt, and he's kind of a Swiss Army knife, man. You need that on your team. People have heard Dan Quinn talk about that. He wants versatility, and he's one of the most versatile guys they have. And I don't know, man. I wouldn't get rid of him. And plus, he's somebody you drafted, and you want to stick with those guys. And what you said about free agents and everything else is falls right in line there. And, man, they've got a good wide receiver room. And plus, there's going to be synergy, and they're going to use all different kinds of sets and everything else, and they need the versatility. So I don't think that you should even think about trading Luke. And, man, he could develop into a really special player like his brother if you give him time and not give up on him or, you know, be negative about it. I mean, I don't get that, but I think they've done well so far. And plus, man, training camp's not even over yet, man. Why would you even think about trading the guy?
Yeah. No, it's so early. It's so early. That's another reason why it's a good timing to bring in Diggs, so he'll be here for that joint practice next week, in which Luke McCaffrey will get a lot of work in against the Dolphins. So will Antonio Williams, Treylon Burke, De'Ami Brown, Jalen Lane, Van Jefferson. This wide receiver room is a lot stronger with Stephon Diggs. It's also a lot more competitive, and that is what you want out of your team this year. I talked about it before training camp started. A good training camp for the Commanders is a very competitive training camp. Last year didn't feel competitive. It was la, 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 la. We just went to the conference championship game. We don't even have our wide receiver one because he wants a contract. This year, everyone's in the building. They've been in the building together since OTAs and minicamp. There's a bigger sense of urgency this year. And oh yeah, now you add stuff on Diggs. If I'm Luke McCaffrey, I'm showing up 20 minutes earlier. If I'm Antonio Williams, I'm staying 30 minutes later, right? And so I don't want to talk about trading those guys. I want to talk about how the competition is going to make everyone better on the offensive side of the ball. Let's go to Dylan in Fairfax. Dylan, you're on the fan with AWOD.
Hey, what's up? Good morning. Hey, I just that caller, Mark, I just have to comment on something he said. He said, you know, I think a lot of people feel that way about trading Luke McCaffrey. And you're like, no, I don't. And he said, you know, I think a lot of people do feel that way. They're just afraid to say it. Afraid of who? What are you talking about? Luke McCaffrey is one of the best kick returners in the NFL. He would have been in the Pro Bowl last year. He's talking about trading into San Francisco. For what? A draft pick? We drafted him with the 100th overall pick. That means we'd have to get a second-round pick to increase our return. You think San Francisco is going to give up a second-round pick so we can reunite their brothers? Like, well, we have the dumbest fan base. Like, we just got Stephon Diggs. Now we actually have a legit wide receiver room, and he calls and he's like, yeah, but now we should blow it up. Like, no, you have Jalen Lane on punt returns. You have Luke McCaffrey on kick returns. If anything, those two dudes are safe. The odd man out is probably going to be De'Ami Brown or, unfortunately, Treylon Burks. That's a good problem to have if you have to cut a good receiver. That's a good problem. And Mark wants to blow it up. That call was just insane. Hope you have a great day. That's all I got. Thanks.
I love your passion and energy, Dylan. Thanks for chiming in. Let's go to Jack in Strasburg, Virginia. What's up, Jack?
What's up, bud? How you doing today?
I'm doing great, man. Football's back.
I tell you what, I am amped up. I am so excited. Like I told the gentleman a minute ago, been a fan since 1969. As a young kid, met Sonny Jurgensen, got his autograph, sliced him up some meat in a restaurant. But anyway, like this guy said a second ago, I got about that guy named Mark who wanted to trade Luke McCaffrey. I tell you what, Luke McCaffrey, if they just put him in there a little bit more, he's already proven what he can do. I think he broke his collarbone, and he was at the point where he was starting to just, I mean, make a name for himself, you know?
Yeah, and now I think he had a good year.
Adding Stephon Diggs to it, the chemistry is just going to be just overwhelmingly wonderful. And you can already see, he's a local guy, went to Maryland, and I think he's going to have a great year. You know, I think he'll be good for the locker room. So, no, I'm just so excited.
Yeah, I appreciate you chiming in, and I echo your excitement for this upcoming season. It does feel like there's so much improved on both sides of the ball. We have to credit Adam Peters, and I was the one that was starting to get a little frustrated. We talked about this last week. What's the holdup with Stephon Diggs? Is it over a couple million dollars? Is it from Diggs' camp? Did he just not want to practice in early August? But the fact that it happened, and he's here in time to play in the joint practice and then play in all three preseason games if they want to. It's night and day from last season. When you look at Jaden Daniels got hurt against the Seahawks, throwing to Zach Ertz, old, Deebo Samuel, and Jalen Lane. And now this year, you talk about Terry, Stephon Diggs, Antonio Williams, I mean, and Chig Okonkwo. I could do a whole segment about how fired up I am for Chig.
Oh, me too. And how about the new running back that we drafted out of, was it Penn State?
Yeah.
What's with him?
So, Katron Allen, yeah, good call, Jack. Appreciate you chiming in. Katron Allen, to me, hasn't popped much yet. I do think you'll see that in maybe joint practices or preseason games. He'll have more of an impact because I do think he's such a north and south runner. He's a short yardage situation type guy. But I can tell you that Bill and Rashad White have stood out to me tremendously. Bill with catching the ball out of the backfield, Rashad White with his quickness. He just looks like a guy that is going to scare defenses on third downs, scare defenses when he's out there on the field with his quick twitch. It's AWOD on the Fan. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back.